Hey, this is Jim Larrabee. I'm the lead pastor here at First Christian Church, and this is our podcast. My prayer is that the words you hear encourage you, that they challenge you, that they build your faith and draw you closer to Jesus. So, enjoy. Hey, good morning, church family. I hope you're having an awesome day and have already experienced the power of God in worship, man. Just letting my heart loose a little bit after a busy, crazy week. It is always good just to be in His presence. So that's what we're hoping for you. That's what we're praying for you, that you discover God today, His presence, you discover God's people, His family, that you walk out of here different because of you being here this morning. And so I'm looking forward to that. If you got your Bibles or your Bible apps, go ahead and head over to First Corinthians chapter 6. That's where we're going to be today. And while you're looking for that, let me just give a couple of just quick shout outs. One, wow, what an amazing Sunday last Sunday. If you were here, it was Youth Sunday, and it was incredible, right? Seeing the next generation of student, the next generation of leader, of just God's changing generation showing up in our church and leading in an amazing ways. Even Chris was speaking, which was incredible. By the way, I will be using an American accent this week. His was Jamaican or something like, I don't know what the thing was. What was it? Scottish. Anyway, it was a little different, but you listened and that's amazing, right? So it was incredible. But I so love that. I love the students bringing it, and you'll see more and more of that. You'll see students everywhere around here, the next generation serving, which is incredible. The other thing I want to give you a shout out to is some things that you already heard. July 6th, mark that on your calendars. That's Summer Shindig here. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be amazing. We definitely need a few folks to be serving because we're going to be making snow cones. We'll be making snow cones. We'll be having a ton of slides and bounce houses. So we just needed some help with some of those kind of pieces, hot dogs that day. We'll be doing two services, first service, second service, and then third service, we're turning it into a party. So we'll go from about 11:15 to 2:15. It'll be a blast, a great time for anyone and everyone. I think we'll even have laser tag out and doing all that. We just love having fun around here. So that's going to be a great July 4th weekend celebration here at our church. And then, of course, service leaders, you heard about that. We desperately need folks to help us on Sunday mornings, get everything set up and going. So if you got a little time in the morning or in the that last part of the day for services, we'd love to have you. Seat back is where all that information is at, and you can find out more there. So anyway, just want to push that just a little bit. Have I given you time to find 1 Corinthians chapter 6? More than enough time, Pastor. Okay, good, because I want you there, because we're diving into this. We're speeding up. I don't know if you feel this or not. Like, we spent a long time in those first couple of chapters, and now we're chunking through 1 Corinthians. We're able to do that. These chapters really focus on just one topic as we're going through that, so we're going to speed up a little bit. My personal goal is to be finished by the end of summer, so then in the fall, maybe we can jump to something in the Old Testament, thinking Joshua. I don't know, I got a couple of thoughts, but I just love some of those Old Testament stories that I want to make sure we're journeying through along with the New Testament. But to set up 1 Corinthians chapter 6 today, let me kind of give you a scenario. Have you ever been talking with someone and you're having this conversation with them, right? Like 30, 45, 50 minute conversation, and you're just been grinding one topic, and all of a sudden, right in the middle of that conversation, they completely go left field with something completely different, and just, you don't even know where that came from. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, hey, you're talking about the economy. Man, the economy is crazy and wild. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, by the way, do you ever wonder if zebras are black with white stripes or white with black stripes? Yeah, has that ever happened to you? Yeah, what's interesting is this, you guys are turning and looking at each other. Some of you are married to this person. You're like, all the time, Pastor, kind of, right? You know, just that whole left field thing that comes out of there. Well, that's a little bit of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's exactly what's going to happen here. Paul, as he's writing 1 Corinthians, he's in these three chapters, which are tied together, chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. They're tied together, and he starts in chapter 5 with a really intense subject that got our attention, right? In chapter 5, he was talking about sexual morality, and we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, and he said something along these lines in chapter 5, right? It's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you as a kind that's not even tolerated by the pagans. And so that was chapter 5, a very intense topic. in chapter 7, he goes right back to it. Chapter 7, he says this, "Now concerning the matters about which you wrote," I'm circling back, "because of temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband." Right smack in the middle of that conversation, chapter 5 and chapter 7 is chapter 6. And Paul, it feels like, completely goes left field. You know what chapter 6 is all about? Lawsuits. Weird, right? You almost think, is Paul having one of those senior moments? He's got a little brain freeze kind of thing. What's happening? What's going on? And so let me just give you a taste of this. When you read the first verse of chapter 6, it says this: "When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to the law before the unrighteous instead of the saints?" So at first glance, it absolutely sounds weird and crazy and completely out of place. You think Paul has lost his focus in this conversation. But when you read deeper, and that's what we're trying to do when we're going through this book of Corinthians, right? When you read deeper, you discover Paul actually has a very important point that he's trying to make. Paul is actually connecting these things together, tying these things together in a very real and powerful way. In fact, the first church, we don't have the time to do that this morning. I can't just read all three chapters. You guys would be done with me and not ever listen to me again. So I can't just read all three chapters. But the early church would have done that. They would have heard chapter 5, they would have heard chapter 6, and they would have heard chapter 7, and they would have picked up the thread that Paul is weaving in all of these things. So here's what we're gonna do this morning. I'm gonna lay out the plan, and then we're gonna dive into it. I've already read a bit of chapter 5, a little bit of that first verse of chapter 5. I already read a little bit of the first verse of chapter 7. So in just a moment, I'm gonna read chapter 6. We're gonna look at some things in that chapter just to give you a taste of how different the chapter is. Then I'm gonna talk about the thread. Why does Paul do this? What is going on? What is happening here? What is the thread that runs through all three of these chapters? And then I'm just gonna pause and we're gonna do some debrief of chapter 6 and lawsuits, because there's some great stuff there. There's actually some things that if you have ever been in a lawsuit, if you ever wondered about lawsuits, if you've ever looked at things and going, what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says some really good stuff that will help all of us, no matter where we are and who we are, in our journey with Christ. And so that's the plan. Are you guys on for my plan? Yes. Okay, good deal. The guys in the back are not listening, but that's okay. Most of you are on for this plan and we got this. So let's do this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll read a couple of verses to kind of loosen us up here. Here it goes. "When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to the law before the unrighteous instead of the saints?" That would be you and me. "Or do you not know that saints will judge the world? If the world is going to be judged for you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we, as God's people, as God's saints, are going to be judging angels? How much more then matters pertaining to this life?" Jump to verse 7. "To have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Rather, would you not suffer the wrong?" And so Paul says some pretty interesting things there, right? There's some intense stuff. And I just want to put out there right from the get-go what Paul is not talking about. Like, when Paul says lawsuits, most of us go to, you know, corporations, right? And these big lawsuits that exist out there between people and corporations. You bought a product, you know, that little stretchy thing that just bends your back and forth, and it flipped you upside down and you lost all your hair and it's never going to grow back. I see that this has happened to some of you in the room. So anyway, right, you're upset about that, my brother. You're upset about that, you know? And you're like, this product was broken, it's wrong. And so you go, and the accountability you have to that corporation in our country is to enter into a lawsuit and sue them and to kind of make things right. Now, Paul is not talking about that. Paul is not addressing anything, any issue that you might have with a big corporation, with a faulty product, with something that goes on. That is not what he's talking about here at all. What Paul is talking about right here in this moment is specifically Christian individual to Christian individual. He's specifically talking about people in the Corinthian church, but I would say it's applicable to people in different churches, toward different churches. The biggest focus, the biggest thing here is it's Christian to Christian. And so this would be a scenario that would look like this. You go to small group with a bunch of your friends, and you bring your kids with you, and you get into the small group, your little kid is sitting there, and the dog comes up and bites the kid. Or as probably really happens in our small groups, is the kid bites the dog. And so we just know our FCC kids around here. So anyway, so, you know, in that moment, someone just gets all upset and angry. I can't believe that happened. I'm taking you to court. That is what Paul is talking about. That is what Paul is getting after and addressing. And he's saying, hey, listen, we need to talk about this. We need to talk about these what in the big picture of things are trivial things that we are going after each other. We need to understand it because it is causing havoc in the church and diminishing the name of Jesus in the community. Now, the second thing I need you to know before we get to the thread and kind of unpack some details is this, is you gotta remember the culture of the Corinthian church. There are two cultures that are going on here. The first is who these people were before Christ. The Corinthian church was a part of a Greek community that had a lot of craziness in it. I'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But just even from the... Somebody is so embarrassed right now. Tell them Jesus is talking to you and that you will call them back and hopefully he doesn't say anything to them. So anyway, the whole deal is the Greek culture, especially here in Corinth, was very litigious. And not litigious as I, so many other people are checking their phones now. Dear Lord in heaven, do not make that happen to me. So what's happening here in the Greek culture is these guys were litigious. Like they felt like it was their right to take other people to court. And it wasn't like an evil, mean thing. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, your phone rang. We're going to court kind of deal. You can't believe, you know, kind of deal. It was entertainment. For this Greek culture, we got a problem. Woo, let's go. Let's do this, man. You're going to argue. I'm going to argue. We're going to do our thing in court, and it's going to be amazing. And we are going to be so entertained. It was ingrained in their culture, their pagan culture, to be a group of people that were so passionate about their individual rights that it was literally entertainment to push against each other in these kind of contexts. So the Corinthians, they were coming out of this history, out of this baggage, out of this stuff, and they were coming into church. And sometimes it's hard to turn loose of our baggage when we become Christians. It is. And so they were bringing this litigious, this, you know, lawsuit is entertainment kind of culture into the church, and they were still going after each other. Which brings us to that second little piece that I mentioned. The Corinthian church absolutely 100% was all about their rights. That was something that they were passionate about, their rights, right? They were a proud, assertive church. That they were all about their rights, what they had a right to do. They even challenged Paul. When Paul was writing to them, Paul's like, hey, listen, you guys need to yield to my words. You need to yield to the gospel. You need to yield to Jesus. And they're like, we ain't yielding to nobody. You know, hey, what are you talking about? We are the Corinthian church. Don't you understand who we are and what rights we have? And so the Apostle Paul is spending time, you remember chapter 4? Is spending time addressing that. In chapter 4, he says this, there are 1,000 voices in your church. There are 1,000 opinions. There are 1,000 things that you want to say and that people want to say, but you only have a few fathers. You only have a few folks that are like me, so will you stop fighting me? Will you stop throwing up your rights and fighting me and just listen to what I have to say to help you in this journey that you are walking in your faith? So here's the cultural context for that church. Their rights, the Corinthian rights, their rights had become the defining characteristic of their faith. Does it sound like a similar theme that we might have in our own country? Let me just make it personal. Does it sound like a similar theme that I might have in my own life? You better believe it, even as your pastor. Man, I read this and I'm like, ooh, that's me. Maybe there's another book I want to read today, right? It's me. Man, I can feel this. I can feel my rights. I can feel like, hey, I've got a right to this. I've got a right to say this, to do this, to be this. And that is the actual opposite of the gospel. I think one of the reasons Paul goes after this so much, it's the thread that runs through chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. It's a thread that runs through this whole book. It's because it's the opposite of what Jesus said. When Jesus said, hey, I want you to follow me. And everybody's like, yes, let's follow Jesus. How do we do it? He says this, deny yourself and take up your cross, which is an instrument of death, and take up your cross and follow me. He says this over and over and over again in the Gospels. That's actually from Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus is basically helping us understand that what he's telling us is that the core of the Christian life is laying down our rights. Yeah, it's laying down our rights. It's laying down our rights and embracing the truth of God's kingdom. He doesn't tell us to become doormats. That's not what he's talking about. You read the Apostle Paul, and he stood up in strength and fierceness with injustices that existed in the world and in pushing back against religiosity and Jesus himself and all the things he did. This is not about becoming a doormat, but it is about becoming someone who says, it is not about me. It is about the kingdom. It's not about what I want. It's about what God wants. It's not about my desires in this world. It's about Jesus's desires for me in my life. That is the gospel. And that's what Paul is getting after here. That's the thread. What's the thread, Pastor Jim, in all of this? That thread is that right there. In chapter 5, the issue was sexual immorality, which was defined by, I have a right to do what I want. In chapter 6, the issue is these lawsuits, but they're basically saying, I have a right to have what I want. I want the right opinion. I want this thing. I want this stuff. And in chapter 7, when we get to it next week, it's all about I have a right to be who I want. And so for Paul, this whole thing is about a people who struggled giving up their rights to embrace living in the kingdom of God. Wildly different issues for us. I mean, we read this and go, whoa, man, these are all different kind of things, but all the same problem. That's the thread. You can pick it up. I encourage you to go read it yourself, and you'll see the thread woven in all three of these chapters. And I think it's important for us to grab hold of because it challenges us. It challenges us personally with where we are in our own life and our own rights compared to the gospel. Now, let's get to the specifics because there's some good stuff in here. There's some interesting things that Paul says that I think is important when we get into this. I'm going to go back and reread a couple of verses to refresh your memory about some details that Paul tells us to live in our life. Remember he said this in chapter 6, verse 1. When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to the law before the unrighteous instead of the saints, instead of us? Or do you know that saints will judge the world? And if the world is judged by you, are you truly incompetent to judge and try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are going to judge angels? How much more than matters that are going to be pertaining to this life? Now, what is the practical truth that Paul is giving us? It is simply this. Paul is telling us that there is value. You ready? There is value in the God-given supernatural wisdom he has placed in his church. There's value here. There is wisdom here. And when I say church, I don't mean a building. I mean you guys. I mean me. I mean us. That God has given us this incredible supernatural wisdom to be able to help each other and engage each other and to walk with each other. The Apostle Peter picks this up and says, hey, listen, I'll take it even further. Peter writes this in his book, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says this, his divine power, he's talking about God, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to just church. No, that pertain to life and godliness. Peter is bringing this truth back around and simply saying that God has given us everything that we need for everything that entails in life, every part of life. Sometimes I am tempted to put my church, Jesus, Christian stuff in a box. Okay, Pastor Jim, you can speak to this. Bible, you can speak to this. But these other things you can't touch. These other things, it doesn't matter. These other things it doesn't work in. And scripture says, absolutely not. That God has given us everything pertaining to every part of your life, your dating life, your work life, your relationships, your marriage, your singleness, your jobs, your emotions, your mental capacities, your where you go, what you do. God has says, man, I have given you divine power and wisdom for all of it. So when we walk in these doors, we don't compartmentalize. We don't set aside and go, nope, this is my Jesus time. I'll open my little Jesus box. You just put, oh, that's enough, Pastor. That's enough for me today. I'm good. You know, we open up it all and let God speak to it all. And Paul says, God does. He speaks to all of our hearts in our life. And not only does he speak to all of our hearts in our life, I love this, that there's this phrase that he has given who? Us. He has given us everything that we need for power and godliness in this life. That is not singular. It's so important. Sometimes we read scripture and in a good way, we apply it to ourselves. Like, this is me. God has given me everything I need that pertains to life and godliness. Yeah. Sorta. God hasn't given me everything I need to be exactly who I am. I am deficient in some areas. I was waiting for a few more gasps. I was really bummed that this, you seem to be like agreeing with me in this truth, and I don't appreciate that. I do not have all the skills, all the talent, all the wisdom to be everything that God has given me to be. Yeah, there are times that people call me and say, Pastor, here's the situation, here's the circumstance, here's what's going on in my life. And I'm like, whoa, let me make a telephone call. Because I don't have it. I don't have the story. I don't have the history. I don't have the journey. That this scripture is not talking about God giving us everything that we need and ourselves as if we can live isolated lives, just me and Jesus, and that's okay. Absolutely not. What is being said here is that God has given us together as a community everything we need together to be who he's called us to be. That God hasn't given you all the wisdom, skills, and strengths. That God hasn't given me all the wisdom, skills, and strengths. God has given us, as a community, everything we need to help each other. So what we lack individually, and we all lack something. Yes. I should have been bigger. We all lack something. Yes, Chef. Oh, it's sweet. You know how many times I heard that last week? It was amazing. I was in the grocery store. Yes, Chef. And I was like, welcome to FCC. That's amazing. God, what he's told us, what we lack individually, we gain in community. God's wisdom is here. And Paul is leveraging that. When you get to verse 5 of chapter 6, he says this. Now, he's this first part is specifically to the Corinthian church. I say this to your shame, right? Because they weren't living in this truth. But he says, can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to settle a dispute between brothers? He didn't say, is your pastor not good enough? Is your small group leader not good enough? Are you not good enough? No, he says, among you. Is there anyone in the community that God has put together that's not wise enough to settle this dispute that you are having? And so Paul steps into that and simply says, that's what this is all about. God has given us a community for a reason. Lean into it. Now, little slice of my heart here. I want to say this. Never think that you don't offer something. Can I say it again? Never think, no matter who you are, that if you're not in this community, that you don't offer something. Man, if you are here, God has done a work in your heart and life, and you bring something to the table. God has given us. There was no caveat to that us. God has given us everything that we need for godliness. So if God has done that, if he has redeemed you, if he's brought you here, then you have a part of what we need. And this can be a challenge sometimes, because I know a lot of us walk in the door and you think, man, I got nothing, Jim. Seriously, no, I got nothing. No, I really mean it, Jim. You need to hear my story. I got nothing. My friend, you got something. God has brought you here for a reason. He's brought you here for a purpose. Maybe the only thing you have is a story. And it might even be a train wreck story, but you're giving that story to Jesus. And even that can be used to just transform some other people's lives. There are folks in here that absolutely do not listen to me. I know, because I watch you on your phone while I'm preaching. That do not, right? But you share a story. You speak a truth, and they are all in because they relate to where you are and what you do and your heart. God has put us together for a reason. You offer something, and Paul wants us to understand that. We don't need to run to the world. We need to run to each other. And just to drive that point home, he gave us this in verse 3. He simply says, don't you know that you're going to judge the world? Don't you know that you're even going to judge the angels? Does that blow your mind? We don't talk about heaven a lot, you know? We know it's our destination. We're going to end up there, right? But we don't talk about it a lot. But I think this is so powerful that it honestly blows my mind. Because sometimes when we think about heaven, we think of it as an ending point, right? Woo! I finally made it. Got here a little too early, but still I'm here. And I crossed the line. Now it's just time to coast. Where's that harp? Where's that harmonica? Where's that banjo? I hope they're not in heaven. So where are those things? I'm just going to sit and play and just sit before the Lord all day long. And that's what heaven is. It is not. When you read scripture, it is so much different than that. There's so much. In fact, you were getting a slice of that right here. Paul's like, hey, don't you know that even in heaven, even in eternity, we have this God-given purpose. We have this God-given thing that we're going to do. And we even have this leadership position of leading and guiding and judging even angels. So here's what that means, that our gifts and our skills and our learning and our journey that we gain in this life, and some of us have hard-fought truths. Some of us have gone through some of the most horrific things, and we've learned this deep faith and this deep truth from God. It's not like you get to heaven like, oh, I don't need that anymore. Paul says you get it here and you use it there. That the things that we're learning even here and now about who we are and who God is and how we walk with him are the tools that we will be using in the next chapter of the story that he has for us. We don't check all that stuff at the door and never think it about again. No, those things are redeemed in a beautiful, beautiful way. And then the light of Jesus has shined on them. And we bring that, and it's a part of our story and our history and our journey. We continue to grow in knowledge and understanding and even purpose. That's powerful. That's powerful. And so you get why Paul is saying what he's saying, right? You get why he's pushing in. Hey, don't get so wrapped up in a small story. Don't think that this life is all there is. If this life is all there is, then every grievance you have is going to be horrible, right? Think of this life as kindergarten. We're in all graduation season, right? And some of you just saw your little kindergartner graduate and you were shocked, but he did. And that's amazing. This life is just like kindergarten. And what we learn in kindergarten, just the basics, you know, we learn how to be kind, chew with our mouth closed. You know, we just learn some basics about skills and talking and sitting and standing and raising our hands and turning our phones off. We learn the basics about all that stuff, right? Totally picking. I don't care. It's all right. The thing that we learn in kindergarten are just the tools that we need for the rest of life. My friend, this life, however many years you get, 20, 30, 80, and by the way, if you're 79, I'm saying 80. That's not the ending point. I need a number. Don't freak out on me. I get those emails sometimes. Pastor, am I dying next year? I have no idea. If I see you driving in a roundabout, maybe. The point is this, that what God has given us, what we have here in this life, and if we are so focused on these limited number of years we have, we will be aggrieved by so many trivial things, and it will overwhelm us, and we will want justice. And Paul says, can you please, please, please think bigger? Can you please grab hold of the idea and understanding that you have a life that's eternal, and that these simple, trivial injustices that you might experience in these few mortal years are nothing in the light of eternity? Paul says, live a bigger picture. Live a bigger life. Now, let me just caveat this statement by saying there are some things. There are some things that are not trivial. There are some experiences, but the Bible never says if something has happened to you and it is wrong and it is intense and it has broken you just to go, oh, I'll just love Jesus and it'll go away. The Bible does not say that. The Bible says, bring that stuff to light. The Bible says, hey, let's address it. The Bible says, let's get healing. And when you bring that stuff to light, there's sometimes consequences that affect other people that should be in place because we are a people of justice and righteousness. That is a completely different conversation. What I'm talking about are the things that honestly, in the nuances of our life, just don't really matter, that aren't that important, that our neighbor put a little bit of his fence on our yard, that, you know, someone's dog did this other thing, that a person said something to us and now we are gonna post on their Facebook page like nobody's business, that what the gospel, what Paul, what is coming up in this text is simply this: let it go. Not because it didn't happen, but because you are in a bigger story and God is doing something far greater in your life. And so what is he saying in this chapter? Simply this, that what matters most is not our rights. What matters most is not me getting what I want, the justice I deserve for this inconsequential thing that happened to me. It's about starting early on being and learning and living like a son or daughter of the kingdom of heaven. You know what I don't want to do? I don't want to get to heaven and have to repeat kindergarten. God's like, you didn't learn a thing, did you? I don't want that to be me. I want to get to heaven and go, I got it. I understand. I got these truths. I understand what you were doing. And I am ready for the greater things that you have for me in eternity, Jesus, because I got it in this life. And then Paul ends this chapter with a beautiful, beautiful verse. I'll just give it to you because I think it just ties it all together really well. Verse 11 in chapter 6. But just remember in all of this, right? You were washed, you are sanctified, and you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. At the end of the day, we are new creations and we are new creatures and we are new people and we live in a new kingdom and we have a God who loves us, who is day by day releasing us from our past and our history and our bondage to be something else that he's called us to be. Is it perfect? No. Will we fail? Yes. Will we struggle? Absolutely. But his grace and mercy is there to carry us every single moment of the day. Amen. Amen. It's not about us. It's about him. Let's pray and ask God to settle this word to our heart and our soul. Father, thank you. Thank you for chapter 6. I would have just blown past this if not for leaning into just going through your scripture. But there's some deep truth here. There's some powerful truth that absolutely pushes into my heart and my soul. There's truth here that tells me that it's about me laying down my rights and my wants. There's some truth here about me leaning into the kingdom of God and being reminded of the gospel day and day after day in my own life. And so if anyone is in here wrestling with that, you know, wrestling with wants, desires, you know, all the rights. Father, that we just lay it down. And we just kind of lay it at the cross. It's not that we're not wounded. It's not that we're not hurt. And not that we don't struggle. Father, but we have your strength. We've been washed. We've been sanctified. We've been justified. You've done a supernatural work in us that we can grab hold of. And so right now, let us do that. If there are people in here that have experienced deeper, more painful things, legitimate things that need to be addressed, may they come to light and your justice shine in their heart and their soul forever and ever. But Father, for most of us, it's just yielding to your truth. Do that work in our heart and our soul. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend. A special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that this ministry is possible. If you'd like to find out more information about giving or to see what's going on in the life of our church, please visit us at fccsantamaria.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.